Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we're going to have a couple of legislative updates for you later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. We'll have phone lines open for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show. Let's see, starting around 8:20, Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. They're doing a weekly legislative update with us, so it'll be great to get his take on things, especially, you know, they look at everything from a free market liberty perspective, so oftentimes touch on the economic issues, but then also things like school choice and more. And then Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, will be with us around 8:40 this morning. So, and that should be interesting because, you know, he was supposed to join us on Friday. Once a month we have Don Kay, the chairman, on to do a monthly update. And we've offered up the same opportunity to the Democrats, by the way. But anyway, he was supposed to join us Friday, but then needed to reschedule for today. So we'll look forward to chatting with him today. I don't know if you guys saw this, but speaking of the Montana legislature, so what is the story with these 9 Republicans that still continue to vote with the Democrats? And the latest example is this ethics case involving former Senate President and a Republican state senator from Hamilton, Jason Ellsworth, who was facing this ethics investigation and a Senate ethics committee that was looking into it. Then the Democrats and a handful of the Republicans voted together in order to basically scrap the ethics investigation and try to pass the buck over to the Montana Department of Justice. But apparently the Attorney General's office is saying we can't handle an investigation like this. That would have to be done by somebody else. And so anyway, what I kind of find ironic about the entire thing is that if you go to the Montana Politics hashtag on Twitter, you'll see the Democrats trying to bash the Republicans. Oh, look at the Republicans. They're in trouble over ethics. It's like, wait a minute. This is the guy that the Democrats are working with. And then the Democrats are the ones who actually voted to scrap the ethics investigation. So Democrats on Twitter, you can't be bashing the Republicans over something that you're a part of now. In fact, I thought it was pretty funny because Tom Luty is now writing for the liberal Montana Free Press. And check out this headline on his story. Democrats notch a win by sending Ellsworth investigation to the DOJ. So even he is pointing out, even the liberal Montana Free Press is pointing out that this is a win for Democrats. The fact that they are silencing this ethics investigation and totally scrapping it and totally kicking it to the curb. That the liberal Montana Free Press is calling it a win for the Democrats in the state Senate. And think about it. What did the Democrats win on? Did they win on property tax relief? You know, anything for you, the people of Montana? No, they won by scrapping an ethics investigation. Wow, big win, Democrats. Big win, Democrats. Anyway, the Montana GOP is actually criticizing Ellsworth, so we'll get to that in the later on in the 8 o'clock hour.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some flurries and snow showers around the area into the day today. High temperatures will stay at around 6 above. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and some colder temperatures. Lows around 20 below zero across the region tonight. And then on Tuesday, we can expect sunshine with highs from 4 above in Bozeman to 13 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's February 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is the day we all deserve. It's National Umbrella Day. Whether to keep the rain off our head, block the sun, or simply as a fashion accessory, the umbrella may be one of the most practical inventions of all time.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain.
Also on this date, in 1933, the Postal Telegraph Cable Company delivered the first ever singing telegram. And the great tenor Luciano Pavarotti gave his final public performance during the opening ceremonies of the 2006 Winter Olympic Games in Turin, Italy. Pavarotti would pass away in 2007 from pancreatic cancer. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Olympic gold medalist swimmer Mark Spitz, born in 1950. Golfing icon, the great white shark, Greg Norman, born in 1955. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, so we've got a story on our Montana Talks website. St. Patrick's Day, really, it's right around the corner, if you can believe it. They're looking for your nominees for a grand marshal. Here's who I would nominate. Tommy O'Neill, the brother of Butte Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill. He's on the radio in Butte, great guy. So anyway, the story's on our Montana Talks website if you want to help a brother out. Plus, you can reel in some Montana trout and reel in cash. That's an interesting story. It's all there, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal joins us every Monday at this time. As we get to back to business and get your work week kicked off with some good business news and more. Evelyn, great to have you as always. You got a chance to attend the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research, their annual Economic Outlook Seminar. They hold these Economic Outlook Seminars all across the state. What were some of the highlights that stood out to you?
Well, I guess the good news is that Montana's economy sounds like it is going to remain stable through 2025. And I must admit, though, to being somewhat surprised at some of the numbers that show that things have slowed down in many areas. As we kind of talked before, it seems to feel like the community was pretty upbeat and business is going along strong. But there were some hiccups in 2024. And one of those things was that over the past 3 years, economic growth in the state has slowed. Even our job market, which is very strong, slowed slightly in 2024. It came in at about 2.4% increase statewide in 2024.
So but, still growing, but a little bit more stable compared to that post-COVID craziness that we've seen. Well, and then, of course, we were hit with some bad news, like the loss of the jobs at the Stillwater Mine and more. And so the fact that we're second highest wage growth in the country and still seeing economic growth, even in the midst of headlines like that, is pretty resilient, right?
Right. And Montana's average growth over the history has been about 2%, and that's what they say we're going to go back to after the big COVID upheaval, and we're coming down from that recovery because, you know, we kind of went way down and then boosted way back up. So now then we're kind of going back down to that 2% level of growth, and in 2025, the economists, which were Pat Barkey and Jeffrey Michael, they said that our growth is going to be 1.7 to 1.8%, but they were both rather critical, thinking that those numbers were too pessimistic. And so, you know, maybe it'll be over 2% again. Following the highs of the state, they said it looked like Montana will resume that 2% annual growth. And our observations about the strong labor and job market is not incorrect. It is strong and is, in fact, higher than the national average. But it is starting to cool, and there has even been a little bit of cooling in Yellowstone County. And interestingly, their projections, based upon their data, is that there's going to be an abrupt slowing of the job growth in 2025 beyond that. In fact, the job growth rate is predicted to fall to 1% in Gallatin County, which is the boom county in the state still. But, you know, Gallatin County has slowed down, and their in-migration is slowed down a lot because, you know, people can't afford to live there. Yellowstone County's economy is projected to do slightly better in 2025, with growth in non-farm earnings at 2 to 2.5% compared to 1.9% in 2024. Yellowstone County is, by the way, the state's largest growth economic center, and has been growing slower than most of the urban counties in the West. Yellowstone County's more modest growth is largely due to the weaker economies of the four states that Billings serves as a regional hub. And I found that interesting thought because I hadn't really paid much attention to the surrounding states and their economies, but we all know that, you know, like Wyoming, you know, everybody sees lots of cars here from Wyoming and stuff. And so what happens in our neighboring states is really important to Yellowstone County and the Billings businesses.
I wonder if part of that, too, is based off of the natural resource industry jobs and economies, which we know were under attack in the last 4 years of the Biden administration, and, you know, liberal federal judges also ruling against oil, gas, and coal. And as we expect this, you know, renaissance in American energy once again here with President Trump, that will be very good news for not just, you know, Billings and eastern Montana, but like you say, that three or four state area region as well. I mean, you know, why do some of our neighboring states like, you know, Wyoming and parts of the Dakotas pay their entry-level teachers more? Well, because they've had more natural resource dollars. We had 16 years of Democrats and very liberal judges that basically, you know, devastated our, you know, extractive industries and timber industry and more. And so these other states didn't have that problem. And so they had more money for teachers. Imagine that. All right. Very interesting. More highlights from the Economic Outlook Seminar put on by the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. Can't believe we're already hearing the music. All right, so hold that thought. We'll come back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal right after your farm and ranch report here on Montana Talks. All right, back right after this. And then we'll have open phone lines for the second half of the show after the Fox News update.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A friend of mine who's a psychologist used to say that when someone tells you that something is psychological, it means that they don't understand it. In that spirit, I'd like to posit that saying an issue is political means that we argue about it. Debate is reasoned and logical. Arguments are simply endless. We live in a time when energy is political. While we can enjoy the modern conveniences and warm houses that past energy investments have given us, we endlessly argue about good and bad energy, denying or embracing a grim scenario of climate apocalypse. The danger of arguing about energy options, making energy political, if you will, may soon be revealed. Since it takes time to develop energy infrastructure, time spent arguing is time spent wasted watching existing infrastructure become inadequate. Should logic replace passion, we would recognize that evolving from high to lower CO2-emitting energy resources has already gotten us further along in reaching climate goals and endless subsidies and demands to retire fossil generation now. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's February 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is the day we all deserve. It's National Umbrella Day. Whether to keep the rain off our head, block the sun, or simply as a fashion accessory, the umbrella may be one of the most practical inventions of all time.
Singing in the rain, yes, singing in the rain.
Also on this date, in 1933, the Postal Telegraph Cable Company delivered the first ever singing telegram. And the great tenor Luciano Pavarotti gave his final public performance during the opening ceremonies of the 2006 Winter Olympic Games in Turin, Italy. Pavarotti would pass away in 2007 from pancreatic cancer. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Olympic gold medalist swimmer Mark Spitz, born in 1950. Golfing icon, the great white shark, Greg Norman, born in 1955. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Rebuilding the cattle herd is complex, with drought, aging ranchers, and financial recovery slowing expansion. Last week at CattleCon in Texas, I spoke with Terrain's Don Close, who shared key insights on the cattle herd's future.
At some point in time, that carrot attracting producers to expand is going to get so big that they're all going to want to buy a replacement female the same day. That event, that blow-off top in the market, is still ahead of us. We know from the last 2 weeks of reports, in all likelihood, we will see an additional but very small decline in numbers for Jan 1, 2026. You know, it could be 2027 before we see the chance of an increase in actual beef supplies. So I still think this market has a lot of runway ahead of it. A lot of things are going to have to fall into place to trigger that expansion.
The full podcast with Don Close can be found at Lane Nordlund Ag Broadcaster on Facebook. Also, over the weekend at the Fort Worth Stock Show, a grand champion steer sold for $375,000. That grand champion steer was sold by Madison Cope, the high bidders being Vaden's Acoustic and Drywall. In total, more than $10 million was raised for youth animal exhibitors at this year's Fort Worth Stock Show. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, speaking of natural resource industries, this was a really interesting report. This was by the MTN TV station in Butte. And I need to ask John how you pronounce his last name, because I read his name all the time, but because I don't hear his name, I couldn't tell you how to pronounce his last name. Is it John Emi, John Emmy? Anyway, good report here. Montana Resources in Butte expects 2025 to yield high-priced, high-grade copper. The company moved about 54 million pounds of copper last year, but they expect to move more than 70 million pounds of higher-grade copper this year. So not only are they going to move more copper this year, but they're pushing into the deposit, the vein of copper, that's really got the very high grade of copper, and they're going to be able to extract more of it. So that's good news for the Butte economy in particular, and Montana as well there. But anyway, always good to share some of this good news here. But yeah, Evelyn Pyburn sharing some very interesting highlights from the Economic Outlook Seminar. Evelyn, where'd you want to go next?
Well, mentioning Butte, Butte was one of the counties that, Butte Silver Bow was one of the counties that has kind of turned around. They had declining numbers for a number of years, but because of the mining prospects and also because of the low cost of housing in Butte, they are attracting a lot of in-migration from not only other counties, but from outside the state. And so Butte had a good 2024 and is projected to do well in 2025. So they're, you know, some things are definitely benefiting them. And as you talk about, you know, the future of mining, it was indeed identified by Barkey as one of the Yellowstone County's most promising industries. And as well as energy and tourism, because of what he sees as changing laws, and which will increase the prospects for those industries.
Yeah, I mean, I think a key part of making Montana great again is you know boosting our mining sector once again, boosting our timber industry once again. And, you know, it's, and yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think the in-migration in places like Butte has been good, you know, for that extra shot in the arm. Maybe the in-migration was a little too much in the Flathead and the Gallatin, et cetera, but it seems like it's been good for Butte in terms of helping the economy, bringing in some new families, et cetera. And a lot of people that are like, well, I could, you know, live in Butte instead of, you know, pay the outrageous prices down the road in either direction. But really, I think, yeah, if we want to make Montana great again, we have got to boost our mining sector even bigger. I mean, let's get those mines near Libby up and running. Let's get the Stillwater Mine back up and running again. I had a great conversation with Heather McDowell from the Stillwater Mine on Friday's show.
Yes, I heard you talking about that, and I hope that the mine in Roundup, the coal mine, that their prospects improve here with the changes in legislation and everything that they hope to get, you know, see happen. One of the other top industries in Yellowstone County is, of course, healthcare. And I thought it was kind of interesting that Barkey said that while it may appear that healthcare, which of course was hugely slapped down by COVID, that the healthcare industry appears to be kind of better, okay on the surface, but he said it really isn't, and they're still struggling. But at the same time, healthcare is going to be what he called a good bet for Yellowstone County. And of course, it's one of the top employers in Yellowstone, if not the top. I'm not too sure, but it's right at the top. And the problems facing it is, you know, they just have yet to be dealt with and figured out. And of course, the agriculture is another big industry for Yellowstone County, and 2024 was both a good year and a bad year for agriculture because, you know, it was good for livestock but rather poor for crops. And I don't think anybody tries to predict too much about agriculture, but it will always continue to be important fundamental industry for Yellowstone County's economic health.
I can make one prediction. There will be times when agriculture will have too much moisture, and then there will be times when they don't have enough moisture, but there will never be the right amount of moisture.
Right amount.
The right amount. All right, a great report as always, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Thanks for your time. Phone lines are open right after Super Bowl stuff, since we just had some Super Bowl updates there during. But by the way, I'll have to ask our producer, Caden Bjornstedt. He's the sports guy around here. I like college football and high school football, but I think that was the first NFL game I actually sat down and watched this year, just because ever since the NFL went woke, and I just don't like sitting that long anyway, you know. But anyway, I have to ask Caden what he thought of the Super Bowl last night. Bit of a sleeper there as the Eagles were just destroying the Kansas City Chiefs. Donald Trump sent out a post on Truth Social where he said the only person who had a worse night than the Kansas City Chiefs was Taylor Swift, who got booed. She got booed when by the crowd when her face showed up on the Jumbotron. All right, sounds like Caden lost some money on the game. He says it was not what his wallet wanted to happen last night. So hopefully he didn't put too much money down on that. Let's see. Meanwhile, so Taylor Swift got booed. Donald Trump got massive applause from the crowd at the Super Bowl last night. All right, both those audio clips were shared on X by the libs of TikTok. I think they showed President Trump, you know, on camera while the national anthem was being sung, if I'm not mistaken. All right, let's see, what else do we got for you here before we switch tracks to another topic? Coming up after the next break here, of course, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about. But coming up after the break, I'm going to go back to this story about child support payments could begin at conception, according to a new bill in the legislature. We've got a couple of messages that came in. I'll share those after this. All right. Hey, how many of you went to a friend's house last night to watch the Super Bowl? And we went to a friend's house, and he just built a new bar in his basement. It was absolutely incredible. I think he's a part of that bourbon club too, so he's got this great bourbon collection. But I digress. How many of you went to a friend's house and you were like, wow, did you see their bathroom? Their bathroom's incredible. Well, maybe you want to have an incredible bathroom in your house. I tell you what, now is the time to act. YHIC, your home improvement company. You can transform your space. You can get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat, just like your friends had at their house last night. Call 406-948-2836. Today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Again, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Get 30% off a bathroom remodel. Go to YHIC.com, your home improvement company. You know,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. So earlier on, about an hour ago in the 6 o'clock hour of this show, we were talking about a lot of different legislative news with the Montana legislative session underway right now as we speak. And this was one of the headlines that caught my eye. It was a report by Clayton Murphy with the University of Montana Legislative News Service. They've got, I believe, a couple of students who are with the University of Montana School of Journalism that are covering the legislative session and providing some legislative updates. And so this was a story. Child support payments could begin at conception under bill. Women in Montana would be able to request child support payments starting at conception if a bill in the Montana House of Representatives becomes law. The House Judiciary Committee heard support for House Bill 288 Thursday from both sides of the abortion debate. Proponents said fathers should bear part of the financial burden of prenatal care, particularly in unplanned pregnancies. Opponents, however, said Montana law already allows women to collect child support for prenatal care after a child's birth, and the bill would complicate medical decisions, is what the opponents are saying about this. We got a couple of messages that have come in, so it sounds like this is sparking some interesting conversation out there. I did shoot a message to Representative Courtney Sprunger out of Kalispell. She is carrying the legislation and says that this is part of being consistent with other pro-life legislation that she has supported. Let's see, Tracy Ulray, the CEO of Options Clinic. That's one of the pro-life pregnancy support centers. Tracy Ulray with Options Clinic supports the bill. While this bill cannot address the emotional support, it can address the financial circumstances of "I cannot afford it" is the most common reason we hear for women struggling. Anyway, that's just part of the conversation here. The bill number is House Bill 288. For those of you that are wondering, we got a couple of follow-up questions here. Carrie in Franny, Wyoming, messaged us, listening to KBUL out of Billings. So because the father cannot be determined until after the child is born, would a woman be forced to pay that child support back if it is found out after the child is born that the guy paying the child support is not the father? That's a question from Carrie in Franny, Wyoming. Chuck in Billings says this. I'm a non-lawyer matologist here asking for a friend. I'm assuming that there are penalties baked in the cake for a dad that does not pay from conception in this new bill. What's the penalties for the woman if the guy turns out to not be the father after he's been made to pay? So that's just a couple of the questions that are coming in. And so, yeah, like I say, I shot a note to Representative Sprunger to see if she wants to join us on the show to talk more about that legislation, or we can get her on another day down the road as well, because we do have a pretty busy lineup starting in a little under 1 hour. Phone lines are open for you right now, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. But, yeah, we'll have a couple of legislative updates later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana will be with us. And then Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, will be with us as well. Let's see. Got a message in regarding the Super Bowl. Robert in Billings said this. The Kansas City Chiefs and their fans, I imagine, we're feeling much like the Democrats on election night. Too soon? Yikes. That's what Robert in Billings had to say. I thought this was kind of funny from Politico's playbook. Politico is the liberal-leaning news publication in Washington, D.C. that we found out was getting paid $26 million by the Biden regime in USAID funds. Here was the headline in Politico's playbook this morning. Teardrops on my guitar. Sorry, Taylor. Sorry, Donald. Your Chiefs took one heck of a beating. But at least Donald Trump can say he was cheered by football fans when he appeared on the big screen ahead of the Super Bowl, becoming the first president in history to attend America's sporting set piece. Ex-Eagles fan Taylor Swift, by contrast, was roundly booed. Booed out of the stadium, Trump delighted on Truth Social. So anyway, that was the little write-up there from Politico Playbook. Let's see, speaking of President Donald J. Trump, you know, Joe Biden was too afraid of doing the softball pre-Super Bowl interview. He actually canceled the presidential pre-Super Bowl interview. And, you know, because Joe Biden, I mean, you know, let's just be honest, he couldn't hack it. But Donald Trump, of course, he's never afraid to do a little bit of a back and forth here. He sat down with Brett Baer from Fox News' special report. Let's see. What were they talking about? Oh, they were talking about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency here. I'm trying to find the back and forth. Where did I put it here? I'm looking for the audio clip here. But basically, they were talking about, you know, just all of this waste, fraud, and abuse that Elon Musk is finding and is rooting out of our government with the Department of Government Efficiency. Let me see. Here we go. Here's a little bit of that back and forth.
Now, welcome to Mar-a-Lago, the winter White House in Palm Beach.
All right, that audio is kind of getting a little garbled on me here. Let me see. Caden, can you cue up? It's the soundbite Maria Bartiromo and Stephen Miller talking about revoked security clearances. Can you cue that one up in your studio? Because with the way this thing's digitizing in here, I'm realizing that I'm going to probably have to just maybe restart my little audio player here. If you've got it, he may have had to pop out of the studio. Yeah, it's in the show audio folder with the other clips. Let me see if I can just, if that one doesn't come in garbled here for a second.
President revealed.
Okay, that one's working. All right, so it must have just been that other clip that was sounding garbled. So a little intro to this one. Stephen Miller, Deputy White House Chief of Staff. He's been with President Trump on policy since day one. Did you guys hear one of the other things President Trump did over the weekend? I know it's hard to keep up with everything that Donald Trump is doing right now. He's doing so many good things. It's hard for people to keep up with him here. He revoked the security clearances of Joe Biden. Why does Joe Biden need a security clearance anymore anyway? I mean, he's just wandering around the backyard. Why does he need a security clearance? So he can go, you know, give information to his buddies in China that have been, you know, funneling all that cash his direction? No, he's no longer the president. He's not on the job. He doesn't deserve a security clearance. And neither do any of these other, you know, Biden regime hacks, for that matter. So that's what as she was asking here at the tail end of their conversation on Sunday Morning Futures.
President revealing more people that he's revoking national security clearances and intelligence briefing, including Joe Biden, including the 51 spies who lied, including perhaps Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan. Of course, Jake Sullivan, one of the mouthpieces of the Russia collusion hoax so many years ago. Your reaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is part and parcel of the same issue. People leave government. They are now private citizens, but they continue to have access to sensitive secrets, and then they use that access in conjunction and partnership with the bureaucracy to weaponize intelligence against American people and against political enemies. And President Trump is saying, no, that stops. Drain the swamp isn't just a talking point. It is a mandate. For 4 years, this issue between 2020 and 2024 was endlessly litigated before the American people about weaponized justice, about weaponized intelligence, about weaponized bureaucracy. And the American people elected Donald Trump and they said, shut it all down. Shut down the weaponization, shut down the abuse of our intelligence system, shut down this entire system that crushes our rights and freedoms at the expense of our privileged few. And that is what he is doing. He is following through on the mandate that the American people gave him to say that our intelligence system and our law enforcement system are not going to be partisan weapons and partisan tools anymore. They're going to be used to keep America safe, to keep terrorists and illegal aliens from hurting our citizens, and they're going to be used to protect the American Republic. And that's what's happening, Maria.
Yeah, good stuff. Well stated there by Stephen Miller. Hope we can get him back here to Montana sometime this year, do a little victory lap, because he was very outspoken going after our former Democrat senator from Montana. I think Stephen Miller really kicked things off and got the ball rolling for people to finally call out John Tester for who he really is and was. Everybody always tried to play this, oh, he's a nice guy, he's just wrong routine. And it's like, are you kidding me? Everything that this guy has done to this state and this country with the open borders invasion and, you know, just the two-facedness. So anyway, Stephen Miller was key in that effort. All right, let's see. Quick break. We've got phone lines open for you. If you want to wrap up the hour with us right after this, Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, 294-0970.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
AG Pam Bondi hit the ground running with orders to pause all funding for sanctuary cities. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You know, the whole concept of sanctuary city status seems rather illegal. Why should select cities or even entire states be allowed to provide haven and refuge for criminal illegal aliens? Well, AG Pam Bondi is on the case. She announced an order to the DOJ to pause all federal funding for sanctuary cities. This could mean a big money loss for states like New York and California, whose leaders routinely boast about their sanctuary policies. Now, keep in mind, being a sanctuary city means local law enforcement is not allowed to cooperate with ICE. This means that illegal aliens who have not only entered unlawfully but have committed even more criminal activity get special coddling by these jurisdictions. Well, under Attorney General Pam Bondi, if they want to play those stupid little games, well, they'll win stupid little prizes and lose federal dollars. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with cloudiness and some flurries and snow showers around the area into the day today. High temperatures will stay at around 6 above. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and some colder temperatures. Lows around 20 below zero across the region tonight. And then on Tuesday, we can expect sunshine with highs from 4 above in Bozeman to 13 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, so we've got a story on our Montana Talks website, St. Patrick's Day. Really, it's right around the corner, if you can believe it. They're looking for your nominees for a grand marshal. Here's who I would nominate. Tommy O'Neill, the brother of Butte Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill. He's on the radio in Butte. Great guy. So anyway, the story's on our Montana Talks website if you want to help a brother out. Plus, you can reel in some Montana trout and reel in cash. That's an interesting story. It's all there, MontanaTalks.com.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Stress builds up, you have trouble sleeping, maybe your mind is racing and you just don't feel like yourself. So what do? We get help. Lots of people are struggling with their mental health. It's more common than you think. The good news is, there are people in our community who are here for us when times are tough. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world, so we don't feel so alone. One thing you can do is visit loveyourmindtoday.org for simple steps you can take to find the right solution for you. Whether it's hearing stories about what other people are going through, or finding the resources we need to navigate the stresses in our lives, visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. We'll get to your calls here in just a second. I think I got the audio without the garbling now. Here is President Trump. He was with Brett Baer during the pre-Super Bowl interview. And anyway, and right before the final question here, Brett Baer was running through the laundry list of things that President Trump is already getting done in just the first 3 weeks in office.
What's different with you and your administration, the difference between the 45th president and the 47th president?
Well, with the 45th, I had tremendous opposition, but I didn't know people, and I didn't have the kind of support that I needed. I put people in office, some great, some really great ones, but I had some that I wouldn't have put. I would have, you know, known better if it were a couple of years later or if I had a little more experience in D.C. I was a New York person, not a D.C. person. And I had a lot of opposition. I just noticed that I looked on the stage for the recent inauguration, and I'm looking, it's like a who's who of Washington. Well, if you look on the stage for the first one, it was just the opposite.
So some of your plays have raised some questions and had some pushbacks. 19 states' attorneys general filed a lawsuit, and early Saturday, a judge agreed with them to restrict Elon Musk and his government efficiency team, Doge, from accessing Treasury Department payment and data systems. They said there was a risk of irreparable harm. What do you make of that? And does that slow you down on what you want to do?
No, I disagree with it 100%. I think it's crazy. And we have to solve the efficiency problem. We have to solve the fraud, waste, abuse, all the things that have gone in the government. You take a look at the USAID, the kind of fraud in there, where the money's going. Well, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars of money that's going to places where it shouldn't be going, where if I read a list, you'd say, this is ridiculous. And you've read the same lists, and there are many that you haven't even seen. It's crazy.
Yeah, in fact, I've got part of that list in front of us right here, but we covered it pretty well in depth last week. But if anybody wants to hear some of that list again, let us know. We can give you the rundown. All right, into the phone lines we go. Right on, John in Bozeman. Hey, what's on your mind this morning? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, I want to say a special thanks to Rabbi Bruck and the people of the Jewish Community Center for opening their center up for the people here at the Warming Center, HRDC, to watch on a big screen the Super Bowl.
Cool.
Yeah, they had some food and we got rides there to and from, and there was about 30 people that showed on up and had a great time.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, because you called in last week. You've been struggling with homelessness yourself. And so, yeah the Warming Center, you can't stay there throughout the daytime, but you can stay there at night. But that's so cool. So the rabbi had folks over for the Super Bowl. That's a cool deal.
Yeah, well, it's cold right now. We're in a blue zone, so we'll be They'll be keeping it open during the day, which is really good. But I think you have some really good messages in regards to, like, Biden's top secret accesses. I just laughed so hard this morning, or when I heard about it. I definitely had my own stack of stuff with the turtle popping out my back end.
Oh, man.
When I heard that he lost all of that, and it was Trump, Big Dog, was saying, oh, well, you did that to me. Now you're all ticked off that we're doing that to you. And finally, I think it was a little bit more complete, but with Pete Hegseth, he needs to work on revoking the FDA and the CDCs and all of that in regards to masks and jabs and everything.
As a supporting effort. Yeah, he's already doing away with that COVID stupidity in the Defense Department and offering to get everybody reinstated. But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, that's why we need to get RFK Jr. in to start cleaning up the Health and Human Services and more on that front. To once and for all put an end to this, coronavirus-related stupidity. Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks for the messages. Thanks for the phone call. Right on, John. Great to hear from you. And, yeah, that's what an awesome shout-out to Rabbi Chaim Bruck. And opening up the synagogue so that you could watch the Super Bowl. That's a cool. He sent me a great message on X yesterday as well. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, great video about Hamas.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A friend of mine who's a psychologist used to say that when someone tells you that something is psychological, it means that they don't understand it. In that spirit, I'd like to posit that saying an issue is political means that we argue about it. Debate is reasoned and logical. Arguments are simply endless. We live in a time when energy is political. While we enjoy the modern conveniences and warm houses that past energy investments have given us, we endlessly argue about good and bad energy, denying or embracing a grim scenario of climate apocalypse. The danger of arguing about energy options, making energy political, if you will, may soon be revealed. Since it takes time to develop energy infrastructure, time spent arguing is time spent wasted watching existing infrastructure become inadequate. Should logic replace passion, we would recognize that evolving from high to lower CO2-emitting energy resources has already gotten us further along in reaching climate goals and endless subsidies and demands to retire fossil generation now. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.